Romans chapter 5, we're going to read from verse 18 down through chapter 6, verse 11. We're not going to spend the entire time on all of these verses. We'll make some comments about them. But to give us the context of what we're actually going to consider this morning in our message, the next message in this series on walking in the Spirit, walking with God. And we'll dwell this morning on in verse 4 of chapter 6, walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 5, verse 18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The entirety of this context helps us understand what it means to walk in newness of life. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning for a special help, an anointing from you on your word, that what is said this morning will be a help to us to understand the consequences of sin in our life and the victory that we have over it because of what Jesus did for us. Meet with us. Help us. We ask that any distractions, anything that would interfere with our ability to hear or listen, that we will be able to set aside all the troubles of life and just hear from you. Be glorified in it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I read this illustration in the dealing with the issue of sin, how easy it is that gets in our lives. Recently, a huge tree in Colorado fell to the ground with a resounding crash after having stood majestically on a hill for more than 400 years. A mere sapling when Columbus landed in San Salvador. Over the centuries, it had been struck by lightning 14 times, braved great windstorms, and even defied an earthquake. In the end, however, it was killed by some little beetles. Boring under the bark, they chewed away its mighty fibers until one day that lordly king of the forest came thundering down. So too, apparently insignificant sins often make substantial inroads into our spiritual lives, and if left unchecked, may cause our downfall. The idle word spoken, the prayer time omitted, and the occasionally fleshly pleasure indulged, these things spoil the vineyard much more than we realize. If Satan gets an entering wedge on inconsistency, the leverage he then exerts is greatly increased. And I thought that was pretty good, and helping us understand just a little bit about what this context is dealing with. Now remember, The overall view of what we've been studying the last several weeks is that goes back to 1 John chapter 5 in understanding the will of God in our prayers. In order to do that, we must first be not just indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God as a Christian, but walking in the Spirit, and then that opened up then some other ideas as the walking in the Spirit is the foundation. It's the goal of what we're to do, what we're to want. This subject here goes to more of the root of what keeps us from walking in the Spirit. As we've already seen on a couple of different occasions, and we'll see it as we study through even this morning and maybe in the weeks to come, to walk in the Spirit is not just a positive something we're to do, but it's something we're not to do, and that is walk in the flesh. There's a contrast. If we're walking according to the course of this world, if we're still stuck in the culture around us, if we're still dwelling in the old nature and caught up in all that the world has for us, then we're not going to be able to walk in the newness of life that God would have us do. We're not going to walk in the Spirit. The context here in Romans 6 is that of baptism. And the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write this to the church at Rome to encourage them or to help them understand what baptism was. There's a lot of people today, a great many people today, that believe that baptism saves, that the mode of baptism isn't important. It's the purpose of baptism that is, as they say, important. And it's the structure of baptism that matters the most to them, the fact that they are baptized. And there's a lot of false doctrine being taught about baptism. This verse pretty well clears it up. We are buried with him by baptism into death. So this is really hard to do if baptism by immersion isn't important. There's a lot of evangelicals today, especially, maybe not Baptists, maybe not people of our camp, so to speak, or of our view of Scripture, but there are a lot of people that I don't doubt are saved, truly born again by the Spirit of God, that don't think it's important to be baptized in a specific way biblically, that don't think it's important to be baptized by immersion, and they accept the fact that you can be sprinkled or poured upon or whatever else it might be, and that's good enough. But that's not good enough. Baptism is a picture. Baptism is something, and hence when you go down into the water, you are buried with him by baptism. You are buried with him in death. That's what baptism is a picture of, is being buried. That's what going under the water is. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. So coming back up out of the water is a picture of the resurrection. It's a picture of our decision to put our faith and trust in Christ for salvation. And then baptism is a testimony to the world of the changed heart. It's a testimony and a picture of our dying to the world and then being raised again, living for God. That's what we are supposed to do. That's what baptism is supposed to do. It's a picture for us. And that doesn't wash away sins. It doesn't cleanse us from anything. It just is a testimony of the cleansing that's already taken place. And this isn't a message on baptism. Future in heaven. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. From the moment we got saved and we chose to follow him, we should deliberately, on purpose, do our best to stop sinning. Now, don't go out here and think that I believe in sinless perfection, that we're going to get to the place where we're stop sinning here. I don't believe that. We'll not get to that place till we're in heaven. It's called final or complete sanctification. But what it does mean in our progressive sanctification here, the closer we get to the Lord, the more we walk in newness of life with him, the more we walk in the Spirit with him, the more we walk worthy with him, the more we walk in love with him, the less sinning we will do. That's how it works. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 that we're to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Now, if it weren't possible to get there, he wouldn't have said it. Not sinlessly perfect, but complete in him, walking in the perfection of Christ, walking, serving him, not sin, Why? Because we've been freed from sin. Go back to the free gift of grace. John 8, in verse 36, it says, "The Son therefore shall make you free. Ye shall be free indeed." Now the word "if" there is a qualification, and it goes back to an illustration Jesus was giving between dealing with whom, with what it is that we serve or whom it is we serve. If Jesus has made us free, and he has, then we are free. Free from what? Free from sin. We're not bound to it anymore. If the devil tempts us to sin, we can say no. It's our choice. Because of God and his power over death, because of God and his provision for victory over sin, we can walk in newness of life, and because of God and his preservation of our new life. He died unto sin once. And I like this. I really do. Verse 10, "For in that he died unto sin once." Once. Once for all. It's all it needed. Once. Three times in the book of Hebrews, we find this. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. "Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place." Chapter 10, verse 10 makes it abundantly clear. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Once for all. Once for all time and once for all people. He doesn't, there is no more need for sacrifice. The sacrifice has been completed. When Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, again, I think is in chapter 5, in the middle part of Matthew chapter 5, we find that Jesus came not to destroy the law, but that the law through him might be fulfilled. The "through him" part is through his work of redemption for us. We have newness of life, and we are to walk in that newness of life because of grace, the free gift, much more abounding through him, because of glory, not just the glory that he used to raise Jesus from the dead, but the glory that we're to live toward, pointing people to Christ. And because of God, we have new life. It was June 18, 1815. The Battle of Waterloo. The French, under the command of Napoleon, were fighting the Allies, the British, Dutch, and Germans, under the command of Wellington. The people of England depended on a system of signals to find out how the battle was going. One of those signal stations was on the tower of Winchester Cathedral. Late in the day, it flashed the signal. They spelled it out, letters, "Wellington defeated." Just at that moment, one of those sudden English fog clouds made it impossible to read the message. The news of defeat quickly spread throughout the city. The whole countryside was sad and gloomy when they heard the news that their country had lost the war and Wellington was defeated. Suddenly, the fog lifted and the remainder of the message could be read. The message had four words, not two. "Wellington defeated the enemy." It took only a few minutes for the good news to spread. Sorrow was turned into joy. Defeat was turned into victory. So it was when Jesus was laid in the grave. Hope had died, even in the hearts of Jesus' most loyal friends. After the frightful crucifixion, the fog of disappointment and misunderstanding had steeled on the friends of Jesus. They had read only part of the divine message: Christ defeated. Death holds no power over us, and neither should sin. If we are saved and are struggling with sin, then we have not read the whole message. Christ defeated the enemy. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us, the Bible says. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Over and over we find that principle. We are freed from sin to walk in newness of life. But it's up to us. We should walk, it says. But we can also choose by our actions to not walk. The first step in walking with him is putting faith and trust in his work on the cross and subsequent resurrection. Accepting that free gift of grace. That's the first step in our walk in newness of life. Baptism is a picture of that salvation and a testimony to the world that we chose Christ. Baptism in other parts of the world is much more significant than here. In many parts of the world, to be baptized as a Christian is a death sentence, literally. But they do it anyways, because they want everybody to know they've chosen Christ. They're going to walk in newness of life. So should we. Let's pray.